This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here today with another guest. This is the week of guests. Haven't had this many guests on in a while. Chris Baker is with us today, and Chris works for Renewal Ministries, and he's the director of operations for us, but he's also a key leader in a ministry, young adult ministry called ID, which my daughter Rachel was on yesterday. She talked about it as well. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, thanks. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. And just share a little bit about kind of first bring people up to date, like who are you and married and family and all that.
Yeah. So born and raised Catholic, but right now I'm, like you said, director of operations for Renewal and ID, or Intentional Disciples, the young adult outreach. And then I'm married. I've been married for about 5 years, just over. I have two little girls. They're 3.5 and 1.5. So life is crazy and lots of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Let's go back a little bit about your own spiritual journey. Like, when did your faith start coming alive in you? Maybe your whole life. I don't really know that background. Share that with everybody.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so my story is kind of twofold. I actually grew up in a very devout home. So my parents were actually really into their faith. They really loved Jesus and talked about him a lot. So my whole childhood was very much about prayer and the sacraments and studying the, you know, just scripture and the catechism and stuff. What's kind of interesting, though, is like I actually did have an encounter with Jesus as a kid. And I really took it seriously, and even at one point thought I had a call to priesthood. But actually, through some consulting with our pastor, I actually realized it was time to just like focus on what he had for me right now versus what he might have for me in the future. I was only 13 at the time. He told me to wait a little bit.
Yeah, you know? Very wise guy. Yeah. You ready to sign up, huh?
Right.
Where do I sign, Father? Just tell me I'm ready to go. So you mentioned encounters. So you're a 13-year-old boy. You had an encounter with the Lord. What does that mean? What did that mean for you? What sort of encounter? Can you describe it?
Yeah, so the encounter actually happened when I was 6 and 7.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. My mother was going to weekly adoration nights. Essentially, after many, many months of begging her to go with her, it was like a midnight hour, she finally was like, okay, if you go to bed right after dinner, and I'll wake you up and I'll take you with me. And I was like, I don't know if I trust you, but it might just be going to bed early tonight. But she actually took me with her, and I started going with her each week and just had several kind of profound moments, both reading my kid's Bible and then just actually experiencing Jesus in the Eucharist, some kind of, I guess, you know, visions, and then also just a lot of like stuff that was happening in my heart that I felt like he was speaking to me at the time. So I really did have like that profound encounter as a, you know, 6 and 7 year old that progressed to that 13-year-old saying, you know, I think I need to be a priest. Obviously the pastor put the hold on that, but my life at that point, right as 13, 14, I really started kind of diving into life as a teenager and wanting to be with my friends and do what they did. And I had kind of a wide range of friends. So I ended up starting to live a double life.
Doing a wide range of things with your wide range of friends.
Yes. Okay. And so, you know, that included everything from parties, drinking, you know, lots of lust and just girlfriends and all kinds of stuff like that, you know, all the kind of typical stuff. But it was all the double life. I was still going to church. I was still praying with my family, but I was also living this double life. And that continued essentially through almost till the end of college, which at that point, Focus had come to my campus.
Focus, so who's that real quickly?
Yeah, so for everyone who's listening, Focus is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. So it's a college campus ministry outreach. Essentially, it goes on campuses, and they go out and talk to students. They start Bible studies. They do discipleship and evangelization. And when I started to encounter them, it was a little bit mixed. It was a little bit of like the double life part of me that was interested but not fully committed yet. It wasn't actually until I went to SEEK, which is their big, big kind of winning conference. So it's open to anyone and everyone. I went to that back in 2013 as my senior year in college, and I just really experienced essentially 6,000 other college students that were way holier than I was. Yeah. And I was operating under the assumption that I was probably, even living the double life, still pretty much the holiest person I knew. Obviously not true.
Yeah.
So it was one of those situations where seeing that many people that actually took their faith seriously, but then also the line for confession. I'd never seen a line that big, especially not young adults, you know. So that was a major moment for me of just realizing, like, I have not gone all in. I have not taken this seriously. And if I'm either going to be all in or all out, I can't do this kind of
middle
of the
road. Can't ride the fence anymore. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that was a major moment for me that senior year.
You know, what's interesting is it's very common to ride the fence, isn't it? It really is.
It is, yeah.
And it's easy to do. And it's like you don't quite want to entrust everything to the Lord and just kind of live life the way he wants you to live life, because you don't know, am I trading down in terms of my experience here? Is it going to be a buzzkill? Is it going to ruin my weekend, or what's going to happen? So you just kind of play both sides of the fence. The problem with that is you never really, all the blessing and the joy of knowing the Lord and allowing him to give you a whole new gaze of reality, just, you don't know what you don't know,
right? Right.
Yeah, and it can seem dull, and you don't have all the benefits that go with it, I guess is what I'd say.
Right,
yeah.
And from the outside looking in, everyone just assumes you're doing pretty good, you're pretty holy, right?
Yeah, right. So you ended up then, as a student, engaging Focus and working for them, right?
I did, yeah. So I actually left that conference, came back totally on fire, saying I'm going to take this seriously, I'm going to dive all in. I actually applied to be a Focus missionary. The Lord humbled me seriously in my last semester of my senior year of college. And it was, I think, a testing period. He was testing my resolve. And he brought about a healing right before I started as a Focus missionary. But yeah, I did. I served for 2 years as a Focus missionary. It was at the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida. So it was a truly impactful time with Focus.
Yeah. Well, what would you say it changed most, or what's one of your fondest memories of that time in terms of the Lord working?
Right. So what I joined Focus for was wanting to bring about the same types of moments or experiences that I encountered at the SEEK conference in my senior year. I wanted to be able to provide that to other college students, essentially having those moments or those encounters with Jesus where you finally woke up and just realized, I need to take this seriously, like all in. And so being able to walk with students, seeing kind of the whole range from a brand new person who's totally agnostic on campus all the way to someone who's just lukewarm and they're around the college campus ministry center all the time, but they're not actually all in yet. And being able to walk with them all was actually really helpful for me. That was sort of a takeaway for me doing Focus, was just that no matter where you are, the fundamentals don't change. Like, you really never move past Jesus and what he did for you, what he's doing for you, the way that he and his Holy Spirit actually bring about transformation in your life and your heart. And again, like, interiorly, you know, it's not that different on the outside necessarily, but inside it is quite a big difference.
Yeah. And then so eventually you ended up coming here. You know, you left Focus, you did the service there, and then you got married, and now you're with Renewal Ministries, helping spearhead, along with Pete Burak and Rachel and your team, Mary, and others, ID. Why don't you tell friends just briefly about ID and what you're doing and what you see Jesus doing in the midst of it?
Yeah. Yeah. Just to kind of frame the context of this, right? ID stands for Intentional Disciples. Our identity is in Christ, and we exist to form young adults into intentional disciples of Jesus Christ. We do that primarily through helping young adults come alive in their faith as what we call spirit-filled leaders, because no matter who you are, you have some level of influence, so you are some level of a leader, and people don't just follow anyone, and so we want to be able to actually lead people to Jesus and to his love and his transformation. So that's primarily why we exist. What we do now, and kind of some of the most impactful things I've seen, especially as of late, we create young adult communities. So we call them discipleship communities. So essentially these communities go on mission together. So young adults who are praying together, they're spending time together doing the things that they love to do, but they're also, and most importantly, living mission as we're called to in the Great Commission. And so we're doing that together because it can be somewhat easy to just live life going to Mass on Sundays or just doing sacraments sometimes, but then the rest of your week looks no different than anyone else's. So this is in some ways reclaiming the other 6 days of the week with other people who are committed to Christ and doing it together to go and seek and save the lost, to be able to speak encouragement to each other when you're having those hard days of maybe trying to live mission, but it's not going so well. And so we actually help these young adults come into these discipleship communities to live mission as a, you know, as a family of God. And we actually help raise them up. We help launch them and kind of guide them along their way so that they can do this in any city, any diocese, any parish, just kind of helping them learn from the failures we've had, the successes we've had, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Now, you and your lovely wife, Afton, have hosted stuff at your... What's it... Help our listeners understand, for example, how you as a leader of one of those communities, what it looks like on occasion when you're together. And...
Yeah, so we talk about rhythms of life. So my wife and I, when we first started about 2 years ago doing these discipleship communities, we invited people over to our home and because we would meet weekly. So we would meet to pray, we'd have dinner, we would meet to have dinner and just play games or have fun together. And then we'd also invite unchurched people or kind of lukewarm people over to do some sort of kind of neutral activity, like maybe a charades night or something, that we would actually spend time together getting to build relationship with them so that we might build the relationship and ultimately, you know, invite them deeper and have those better conversations about Jesus. And so, yeah, we opened our home. We had our kids there. We didn't have a babysitter. You know, we just had little babies running around. And probably the best thing that I realized only looking back and doing this is that the other young adults in that community became a lot like real family. They became the aunties and the uncles to my little girls. They became like brothers and sisters to my wife and I. Good moments, hard moments, all of it, right? And so it was truly a gift and a blessing to do it, to be doing it. And it was just that consistent commitment to each other to say, look, I'm here, good and bad, to pray together, to spend time together, and to go and actually reach the lost together.
Yeah. How would you say in your experience, Chris, you know, working with 20s and 30 somethings, what are their greatest needs?
You know, what community. Really, the number one thing that we hear is community. Maybe second to that is sort of the epidemic of mental illness, and that involves anxiety, depression, loneliness. A lot of that, most often, not talking like clinical, but like most often the feelings of that can be kind of led back to some type of community, a place to belong. And so that's the number one thing that we hear. And then the number one way that we actually try to meet those needs is in these discipleship communities. It's a place to belong for a lot of people before they believe, you know?
Yeah. If folks want to know a little bit more about what you're doing, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, so they can go to our website, intentionaldisciples.com, or they could go follow us on Instagram, just, you know, at Intentional Disciples.
Great. Wonderful. Chris, well, thanks for being with us today.
Fantastic. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, may the Lord continue to use you, and you guys are doing wonderful, wonderful things. Friends, I'd encourage you to just go to their website and check it out and see what the Lord is doing. And if you have any, you know, young adult children, or maybe you're a young adult and you're listening to this, and I think there's going to be something there for you. You'll be very happy that you did. So, but friends, also, let's each remember that the Lord is near. These are shaking times. These are difficult times. These are challenging times for so many, but he's close at hand. Reach out to him and allow him to touch your heart and bring the grace and security that you need to live out each day in joy. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.